Would you pray with me? Holy and loving God, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Your word that speaks out of the ages. Just as important, just as true today as when they were first uttered. Give us ears to hear and hearts and minds to understand. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. There was a New York couple that wanted to raise cattle, and so they bought a ranch out west. And some of their friends visited them once and inquired about what the ranch's name was. And the would-be rancher husband said, "Well, I wanted to name it the Bar J Ranch. But my wife wanted to call it the Susie Q Ranch. And my one son wanted to call it the Flying W Ranch, and the other son liked the Lazy Y Ranch. So we're calling it the Bar J, Susie Q, Flying W, Lazy Y." "But where are all your cattle?" a friend asked. "None survived the branding." I know, it's kind of sad, isn't it? But you know, it's easy sometimes to just kind of follow along with things to keep everybody happy. That we must be in agreement for things to last the trials of time. Especially in our devotion to God. The problem is that when we do that, sometimes we kill the cows. As it were, today in our Isaiah passage, we read of the descent of God through the mouth of the third prophet of Isaiah. The people are expressing their sense that they've been pious to God, before God, that they have followed God's rules and God's rituals and all of those things that God wanted them to do. And yet, they feel like God's not listening. Not responding to their piety in any way like they had hoped. Again, listen to what they say. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you take no notice? We're doing what you asked us to do, God. Why aren't you noticing it?" But God isn't noticing. And God, through the prophet, lodges a dissent toward the people. "Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day. You oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high." God's saying, "Uh-uh, you got it all wrong. You're not doing what I want. Even though you think you may be doing what I want." You see, the piety of the people, just by very nature of their complaint, "Why do we fast but you did not see?" leads us to believe that they're looking for the blessing for themselves. They're doing navel-gazing piety, turning inward. And God wants the piety to reach out and touch the people on the edges of life. "Is this not the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke, to feed the hungry, bring homeless poor into your house, see the naked and cover them, and not hide yourself from your own kin." Go to the edges. However, the church throughout its history has had a real problem with dissent. We don't like prophets like Isaiah challenging our notions of what worship should be like or what we should believe. Think about it. When you joined this church, you were asked to believe one thing. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? We ask you to say yes to that. But we don't ask you, do you believe in the virgin birth? Do you believe in that Jesus rose bodily from the resurrection? We don't ask anything else. That's between you and God. We just ask that you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Within the framework of belief in Christ, there is room for other beliefs. And there's also room for dissent. We have the Protestant church today because of dissent. The dissent of people like Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Knox, and many other reformers who stood up to the Catholic Church and said, this isn't the way it should be done. Some of them were killed, but most of them were kicked out of the church. There was not enough room for dissent in the church. True godly dissent, I would call it living at the edge of belief and practice, always seeks to be faithful to the call of God and to offer justice. Martin Luther King Jr. dissented from the religious and political center of racism and injustice. For a number of years, there has been dissent in the churches and society about how we exclude or whether we include LGBTQ+ people. Time and time again, the church is called on to say, what does it mean to be a true follower of Christ with these things going on in our world? God calls us to express our piety at the edges and work for justice. Plainfield native Mark Miller wrote a song. He's quite a hymn writer, written a number of songs. Wrote one called Draw the Circle Wide. Draw the circle wide, draw the circle wide. No one stands alone, we'll stand side by side. Draw the circle wide. Draw the circle wide, draw it wider still, let this be our song. No one stands alone, standing side by side. Draw the circle wide. Dissent in the church can break us from the center, from the status quo, and take us out to the edges where justice and kindness seeks to include all of God's people. And then to borrow from Martin Luther King Jr., and as God's Spirit does the long work of bending the arc of the moral universe to justice. I find it interesting that some of the questions that those that we will be reinstalling in just a few minutes as officers, as elders and deacons in our church, what they will be answering. And one of them is that, will they promise to serve the church with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? Well, some people in the church would get afraid of that word, imagination. No, we don't want any free thinkers. Imagination leads or can lead to dissent. And then they will promise to be guided by the scriptures and confessions of the church. Scriptures and confessions filled with dissent. In fact, many of the confessions that we have today in our Presbyterian tradition, in the Book of Confessions, were bred in dissent. They will, in essence, be promising to keep the church at the edges of life by striving to lead the church, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to free the oppressed. That's their task as officers. But it's also your task and my task as followers of Christ. I'm reminded of the motto of the Presbyterian Church USA. In fact, after we reunited in Atlanta, they developed a new symbol before the current one, which we have, which you've all seen. But there was an interim one. And it had in it, around the thing, the church reformed, always reforming. The church reformed, always reforming. It's not an easy process. We know the pain that we've been through as a Presbyterian denomination, and we've lost a number of churches because of dissent. We've also seen recently our brothers and sisters of the Methodist Church are going to be splitting, probably, because of dissent. One group saying, trying to exclude, and another group trying to include in terms of the LGBTQ plus issue. A church needs to live its piety on the edges. And may God give us the courage to live on the edge so that we can survive our branding as followers of Christ.